You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dan.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 238. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And we are here tonight to talk to you about the only thing that happened in the world last night. The Leafs beat the Boston Bruins 4-0. The PP got going. They beat the Bruins for the first time in 2 years in the regular season.
Oh,
and that's all I heard today. Everyone walking around talking Leafs and Bruins. Nothing else happened in the world. That's it.
Oh,
what a night. What a night.
I'm laughing, but I don't mean to laugh because it's crazy, man. But yeah, what a win. What a win over the Boston Bruins, who they just can never seem to beat in the regular season. Big 4-0 win. A lot of positives here. We're going to get to Stolarz, the special teams. A lot of positives, a couple negatives. But yeah, big 4-0 win. So I think you got to go with Matthews off the top here, brother, because news trickled down Tuesday morning. Out with an upper body injury. That's right. They said upper body, but you're not fooling us. We know exactly what's going on there. Groin, baby, groin. But yeah, what'd you think there? Matthews injury.
Yeah. Did you not think that this was going to be the same old scenario? Like, Matthews goes out, there's no chance we can beat the Boston Bruins. And of course, that's when you do it.
Yep.
When Austin Matthews is on the shelf. That's just such a Maple Leaf thing to do. Your star player goes out. But I was thinking, and I know we'll get to this, but I was kind of thinking when I was watching the power play, did it not kind of look a little more free when they weren't constantly looking for 34?
100%. 100%. Yep.
Might have made a little bit of a difference.
It's so weird with these guys, man, when like somebody goes out, Matthews, Marner, Riley, whoever, they always step up. They seem to go on a bit of a streak. It's so fucking weird that they do that. Like, they do it every season. Every fucking season. Hey, man.
Max Domi was your number one center. And that is when you finally beat the Bruins in the regular season.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't get
it. It's crazy. No, I don't get it either, man. Anyway, so yeah, Matthews, no timeline. They say day to day, but obviously I wouldn't rush him back. Like, you got two games coming up this weekend, but like, no need to rush him back, right?
No.
Would you keep him out for both games? Detroit and Montreal. I know you need division opponents. You need the points, but what's going on there? Like, whatever. You don't want it to linger all season. You want him to get back at 100%. So I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play him on the weekend.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because like you said in the short video that you posted, giving the injury update to everybody, he had played over 20 minutes in the game before. So it's kind of weird, but yeah, I would keep him out. And I would also I think it's a good test for the other guys. They get more ice time, they get more responsibility. Sometimes it can gel the team a little bit because they don't seem to be quite there yet this season. Could be a good thing. And yeah, what's the rush? What's the rush to get Austin Matthews back in the lineup?
Yep, 100%.
When you pull that groin.
Yeah, no.
Take your time.
Yep, totally agree. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not super concerned about it. He looked off. He looked off anyway.
Yeah, all season he's looked off.
100%. Something wasn't right. So get it straightened out, get back in the lineup, and hopefully he can start ripping it home because we need him to get things cooking here. Stolarz, man, off the top for me, 29 save shutout. Where is this team without Stolarz? This guy is fucking incredible, and there's no doubt in my mind this guy is the number one goalie. Does not matter what Joseph Woll does. He's our guy.
Yeah.
Wrong?
Oh, God, no, man.
No.
I mean, how did we said that on the podcast? Stolarz is the number one goalie. As of right now, he's the number one goalie. Played incredible against Boston. Like, the score was 4-0, but the game was a lot closer than that. There were so many power plays for both teams. There were so many chances. He made incredible saves. Stolarz.
I hope Woll can get things figured out and still be a good like option, but I just don't see any way, especially if Stolarz keeps this. If he can maintain this, he'll have dips, sure. But if he can kind of maintain this level of play all season long, man, that's like a major, major bonus for this team. Goaltending that we haven't had in fucking years, man. Like, when's the last time we were getting goaltending like this? Like, at Anderson, yes.
Yeah, Freddie.
Campbell for a while. And then whatever. Like, it's kind of been a revolving door. And I don't know. I just, what a signing.
This is, I would say Freddie Anderson was the last one that gave you this type of solid goaltending. Campbell had a weakness of letting in the first shot and letting in some bad goals. Samsonov was a wild card at best.
Oh, yeah, wild card. you didn't know what you're getting with that guy.
You didn't know what you were getting. Stolarz is, he's so sound. And I said it at the start of the season, his game down low, like along the ice with his pads, is unbelievable.
He is huge. Like, Eddie Belfour must love this guy in the shower. Love him.
He's probably carrying an Arnold Palmer down there.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, man. This guy, look, with Joseph Woll, like, it's just the way the team feels about playing in front of Stolarz right now, like, their confidence must be super fucking high. With Woll, even when I'm watching him play, like, every time he goes down, I'm waiting for him not to get up.
Yeah.
Like, every single time. So yeah. I was watching
the St. Louis game with other people. And do you know how many times somebody said that? When there was like a scramble and he had to stretch across, somebody in the room was like, he's hurt. He's fucking hurt.
That's the mentality, because that's like, that's his reputation, right?
I know. So yeah,
not the best,
but we got Stolarz.
Yeah, thank God we have Stolarz. Like, where would this team be without him? Think about it. Like, they're only slightly over 500 now. They're second place in the Atlantic, right behind the Florida Panthers. But basically, every team in the Atlantic has been struggling, but the Panthers. Every team is not playing well. So, like, including the Bruins, like, big time trouble there. So, I guess we're going to fluke out and get into the playoffs because everybody else sucks anyway. So,
well, I mean, it's early November.
Yeah.
A lot of things can happen.
Yeah.
No, I know, but like, Edmonton Oilers were the worst team in the league last year and went on to the Stanley Cup final. Like, you can get on a hot streak. It is surprising to me how weak the Atlantic division is.
It used to be the strongest division in hockey. I don't think it is anymore.
There was always Boston, Tampa, and now you can throw Florida in there. The last few seasons have always got out to hot starts. And then the Leafs are like, doing their October thing, then they get back into it, and then they settle into a second or third for the whole season. But this year, it's like, outside of the Panthers, you're right. You could go, if you look at the points, they're like a few points from the between second place and the bottom of the Atlantic.
Yeah.
It's crazy how tight it is.
It is tight. Like, you know, in the last 5 years, you've got three cup winners from the Atlantic division. Tampa Bay two times, Panthers one time, and then mix in Colorado and Vegas. So, I mean, three cup winners out of your division in the last 5 years. So, but yeah, there seems to be a dip there this season. So I'm okay with that. I mean, I could handle a favorable first round opponent this season, but it'll probably be the Panthers.
Well, no, if the Panthers win the division and you come second, you get the third place team in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Which will probably be Tampa. Boston or Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, of course it will. Of course it will. Like, unless Ottawa sneaks in or Detroit sneaks in, but that'll just mean that they were having a good season anyway. So yeah, it's November. We already know who they're going to play. Unless they win the division.
And they could.
And they play a wild card team, and it could be from the Metro. You could be playing, who knows? I would love that. Just to switch it up for fucking once.
Switch it up.
Anyway.
Sometimes you got to switch it up. Got to do something different. Anyway, where do you want to go now?
Special teams, I think. But just Stolarz. Like, just again, I can't reiterate enough. Stolarz, holy smokes, this guy. Incredible. I hope it continues because, man, oh, man. If he plays like that, this team's going to win a lot of hockey games. But for me, there's no doubt. Like, it's not even a competition between Woll and Stolarz. There's no doubt. It's Stolarz. That's it.
Yeah. But you do hope for a competition.
For sure. But I don't see it that way. I just don't, like.
No, not right now, man.
There's no way. Like, Woll will get, like, the Habs game, I guess, because it's a back-to-back. But if it's not a back-to-back, Stolarz, you're playing. Like, I'm riding him like a number one guy. Why not? Like, I would. Like, he's killing it. So, anyway, special teams. 3-for-7 on the power play against the Bruins.
Seven fucking
power. Yeah. I know.
And the Leafs took six themselves. The penalty killed, they killed six penalties. So very impressive. Like they finally, the power play finally, like three power play goals and an empty netter. That was it, right? I think there was, three power play goals and an empty netter. So what do you think? Like they, I'm a little speechless. Like they finally got it cooking a little bit.
It was, to say the least, a little surprising. Did they have three on the year?
No, like I don't. Yeah. They scored. They had three on the year. They scored many goals last night as they had it all season long on the power.
Okay, so they had three, and they doubled it in one game.
Yeah,
or they matched it in one game. So there you go. That's all you gotta. That's all you gotta say right there. That's how shitty their power play had been.
Yeah,
but it was it. I said it earlier. It looked a little different. Like without Matthews on there, I felt it was a little freer. A lot more going to the net. Way more bodies in front of the net, tip-ins, a lot of things happening in there. It was just, it had a different look, looked a little more free. Keep it going, boys. Keep that PP going.
For sure. And so you were going to say, like, in front of the net, well, who was parking his ass in front of the net?
Nice.
Like, you can't take him off the power play. Even when Austin comes back, like, he's huge. Like, you can't budge him out of there.
Well, we were saying that earlier in the year. Maybe take JT off and put Nyes in front of there. JT's great in front of the net, but he did it again. Even though they scored three power play goals, he shovels it into the goalie. Where Nyes, he's got a little different touch in there. And fuck, he is a beast.
He's a beast. I think he's a better option on the power play in front of the net for sure. Just you can't move the guy. And we'll go right here. So the third goal of the game. Can't hit the intro anymore, so we'll just say, just the tip. Here it is, the first one of the season. Can you believe that?
Whoa.
Can you believe we're this deep? Like, all of October.
That's what she said.
Can you believe we're this deep?
That's what she said.
All of October, not one tip in. And then here we go, Matthew Nyes, first of the season, first tip in of the season. Just, you gotta love that, man. What a, just... I think it was Nylander. Was it Nylander or Marner? No, I think it was Nylander from the point. Or might have been Riley.
I think it was Riley.
Might have been Riley, actually. And he scored a goal last night, too. So he's off to a bit of a hot start. Back on the power play. I don't know if you want to talk about that or not. But, hey, just the tip. What did you think of this tip in from Matthew Nyes? Loved it. I loved it.
You know, for such a young guy, that was a professional tip.
Oh, God.
That looked like a tip of a guy who's been, you know, tipping it in. For 35 years.
Yep. Rumor has it, that's not the only tip he tipped in last night. He went home and he had himself a tip-in fest. Because once you get one tip in, you're thirsty for more.
That's all there is to it. Yeah. That's all there is to it, yeah.
Yeah. Once you put one tip in, you're thirsty. You're all horned up for more. You can't
need more.
You can't put just one tip in. No. Just
because it just feels so good.
You're just getting it wet a little bit.
Yeah.
You're just getting the tip wet a little bit. So he went home, more tipping. Tip-ins all night long for Matthew Nyes, but I loved it, man. Hopefully we can get more tip-ins.
So do you have sources on that? Like how you always have information like that.
Yeah,
I always like, you know, and then he went home and they tell me he went home and there were tip-ins at home.
Little birdie told me.
Yeah, so who's the little? You can't tell.
It was a little, or some would call it a little birdie. I might call it a big eagle that told me.
Oh, okay. All right. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, a big eagle, if anyone gets that reference. Yeah. And if you don't get it, I'm talking about Eddie Belfour, folks.
Way to out your source.
Eddie the Eagle Belfour. So there you go.
You would be great in the media. You would be so good if you worked for TSN or wrote in the paper and stuff. You'd be like, my source tells me that Nylander's on the trading block.
By my source, I mean
Brad Tree Living. Okay. Oh, he told me himself.
Yeah.
No one would trust you.
No, but that's okay. Eddie and me, we have a special relationship. No problem. But yeah, it's great. Great to see, man. Matthew Nyes, he's popping goals in fucking left and right. This guy on fire. Holy fuck, man. How, like, you kind of got to get a contract on here quick. Like, I don't know how long you want this to go because What if he becomes like a power play specialist and he's popping goals in there left and right? And like, I don't know. Fuck. What if he wins the Conn Smythe?
if you're hoping for a dip in play before you sign a contract, like the way Berube's playing this guy, putting him in front of the net on the power play, playing with Matthews and Marner on the top line. And if he starts getting tipping goals.
Oh, forget it. Get this guy
a contract right now. It's going to cost. I mean, you leave it. It's just going to be more and more money. But anyway,
you think they're going to bridge him or do you think they're going to go long term? What do you think they're going to try to do long term to keep the money down or a short like 2 more years at what? 4 million?
You could bridge it. But like, remember, JT's contract's coming off the books at the end of the year. $11 million. Yeah, but you could use some of that money to give Nyes a long-term contract.
What does that look like?
I have no idea.
Does it start with a 5 or is that fairy tale land?
I think
like, and I mean like low, like is it more than, does it start with a 6?
Well, I mean, if I'm Matthew Nyes, I'm going through the other contracts on the team. And I'm just saying, like, if this guy's making 5, I'm making 6.
Every guy, like you cannot, okay. Every guy they've had play with Mitch and Austin, whether it be Hyman, Bunting, okay. Every guy they've had play there has priced himself out of the market. And not really, because Hyman only got paid $5 million. Dubas couldn't fucking pony up that fucking money. Ridiculous. I don't know what Bunting's making. He's in fucking Pittsburgh with Dubas now too. 4.5 for Bunt or something like that. I would not have gave him that money, but all day long, I'm giving Zach Hyman $5 million.
Yeah.
Best contract in the league, probably. But every guy has priced himself out of the market that has played with those two guys. Cannot let that happen here. Cannot do it.
No. So, no, absolutely not.
I don't know.
Well, get on your sources.
Yeah, I'll try to get...
Find out the talks that are going behind. Don't tell us the source because we want to keep it going all season.
Yeah, he's second on the team with goals, only with 7 goals. Nylander is the only person ahead of him with 10. Matthews, Tavares, 5 each. So he's killing it. He's humming along. Yeah. So I don't know, man. Tree living, get cooking because this would be... I don't know. They will get something done. It's just a matter of like a bridge or long term. But like you just, fuck, man, I've been so impressed with this guy. And now that he put the tip in, fuck,
through the
blowing the doors off this whole thing. Listen, secondary scoring. I don't know where you want to go after this, but I think we should talk about this before we get out of here or start to wrap it up anyway. Like secondary scoring, major concern, I think. Nice. Great. Like there's another guy other than your big 4 guys that's putting the puck in the net. Love that. When you go a little, the layer right below under that
gets a little thin,
real thin. Domi, not producing offensively. McMahon had a nice, when he was on the line with Domi and Nylander, couple nice goals early in the season, but he's not ripping it. This guy can put the puck in the net, not doing it. Robertson. Might as well trade him because he's not a fucking player. He's not a serious player. Like, I know, what do you have, 15 goals last season or whatever? Like, in limited, like, games and ice time? It's not working. There's not a fit here for Nick Robertson. And so if you want to talk about that, and then as well as your thoughts on guys like McMahon and Domi and the lack of fucking secondary scoring. Fuck, Lorenz is putting it in. Empty netters. That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's got more than just empty netters, but
yeah.
Bobby McMahon surprises me a lot because the way Berube kind of plays the game is like he's all about being physical. He's all about being hard on the puck and hard on the other team.
Yeah.
I get why Nick Robertson doesn't really succeed in that because he gets bumped off pucks very easily.
Yep.
And if you're trying to play that style, but Bobby McMahon, doesn't he kind of strike you as the type of guy who would thrive under that? Like, he's not afraid to get gritty. He's dropped the gloves before. He gets in there. He plays the body. I thought this would kind of be good for him. But after those few games on Nylander's line, he's just gone invisible.
Yep.
Pacioretty.
Okay, Pacioretty. Sir, I didn't mention him. He's been a plus.
I was going to say, Pacioretty, I think, is providing you some stuff. And then outside of that, you're not going to get much from Kampf. You're not going to get much from Reeves.
No, you're not going to get anything from them.
Your only hope is that maybe when Yarncroc comes back,
dude,
he can add a little bit to the depth. Scoring.
He's on Robidoux Island. Gone. After.
Well, not if they like trade someone else, he can come back.
No, dude, he's got sources.
Oh my God.
Sources say, okay, that this guy is far, far away from coming back.
How?
Do you know what he's dealing with? And I'm being serious here now. Do you know what he's dealing with? He's dealing with a hernia. He's dealing with a hernia.
Really?
Yeah. So he's nowhere near. He hasn't even skated, dude.
Who's your source?
This is a real thing. I'm not making this up. You can't give it to us. Not that I was making the other stuff up. Maybe a little bit. But with this is, I'm being dead serious. Dealing with the hernia, hasn't even skated. This guy's miles away, light years away. Like after Christmas, they're trying to figure out if he needs like to have surgery. So he might be shut down completely. So don't think Yarncroc's coming in to bury a couple. That's not happening. You got Connor Dewar. I don't think he's going to bring you much offense.
No.
So
guys like Dewar, Lorenz, you know, you may get a goal from them every so often, and it's just a plus, and you may get hot streaks with your fourth line and stuff, but the third line is where you need production sort of on a regular basis. You know, if they can pop in a goal every three or four games for you,
yep,
all right, we're doing good. What do you see out of this third line?
Nothing. Absolutely goose eggs. And sources say that the coach doesn't like Nick Robertson's size. Actually, sources don't say that. He just said it himself. The coach actually just said that himself. Doesn't like his size. He pulls him out of the lineup when they're playing bigger teams. What does that fucking tell you?
He gets bumped off the puck nothing.
Like this guy's never playing in a playoff game that Craig Berube's coaching. So you fucking move him for whatever you need to move him for. But like trade the guy. I know that might take a little offense away, but he's not fucking scoring anyway. So I don't know. You look to the Marlies. Like, I mean, just to give the third line a different look, maybe you put Alex Nylander up there, switch it up. Like he's got the ability to put the puck in the net. He's doing pretty decent. His numbers are good with the Marlies. Like,
you're not looking for top six. You're just looking for someone who can pop the goal in once in a while on the third line. That's it. Your top two lines are fine. Let them be. So, yeah, maybe Alex Nylander. I saw that someone posted that Nylander's leading the Leafs and Nylander's leading the Marlies.
Well, there you go. I mean, they sign him for a reason. Like, if you need more depth scoring, he's a guy that can fucking bring it for you. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how that would work. Like, when the problem is, Berube loves Holmberg. Loves him. So, you know, I would take Holmberg out. I like him too. Not this year. I've liked his game in the past. I don't really see what he's bringing right now. He's a decent penalty killer, whatever. But they have other guys on the team that can fucking kill penalties too. So, I don't know. Like McMahon, Nylander, Domi. I'm talking about Alex Nylander. When Matthews comes back, like, just for a different look. Like, I guess it's going to be Domi and McMahon. But the other
wing, your second line is Tavares, Pacioretty, and
Nylander.
But you just put Nylander on the third line.
No, I meant Alex Nylander.
Oh, fuck. That's going to fuck me up.
Yeah, I meant Alex Nylander.
Sources say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have any sources.
Well,
and if I did, I wouldn't out them.
You might have a couple of them. You might have a couple sources.
I got a couple sources. I'm not going to out them then.
So what do you think they're going to do? Like, do you think they're thinking in-house? Like, they can't like Domi, McMahon, and Holmberg. Like, they can't like that internally. Can they? Like, there's no way. You can't look at that and be like, oh, yeah, that just screams, like, what a line.
No, but what are they going to do? They're up against the cap. They can't really, unless they make a trade, you can't just add people to the team.
Yeah, well, make a trade. Make a trade.
Yeah. Well, that's on the GM. And like you say, Berube does have this sort of fondness for Holmberg.
Oh, he loves
him. No one even understands it. Like any radio show you listen to, even during the game, even during the broadcast, like, oh, Holmberg's in the lineup tonight. Like, they're a little shocked about it. So the sources say.
Sources say.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Anything else? We got Detroit on Friday. We got the Habs on Saturday. The Sens next week. I don't have much more than that, man. I guess, like, just to recap everything quickly, like, special teams finally, like, good. The penalty killing's been really good. And the power play, like, can they maintain this? They won't maintain that. But get out of the basement. Like, fuck. Start popping more in. The power play's too good to not be putting the puck in the net. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. And fucking goaltending, man. Stolarz, incredible. Again,
yeah.
I expect him in net on Friday against the Wings. We'll see. If not, it'll be Wall and then right back to, well, it's a back-to-back, so they're both going to play however they're going to split the games. But yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, big win.
Yeah, it should be Stolarz on Friday. But anyway, listen, for anybody that is interested, if you're listening to this part of the podcast, we're near the end. If you're watching on YouTube or whatever, was thinking that for this Christmas, we might open up an online shop where we would sell tip-in merch, maybe a mustache shirt, maybe a little tip-in in between the legs or something like that.
Yeah.
With our logo on it. If you would be interested in that, leave us a comment. The store would just be open for 6 weeks before Christmas. We could sell you some t-shirts, sweaters, hats, whatever it is. Let us know if you're interested, because it is a lot of work and it's only the two of us that do this shit. So we have to do it ourselves. And if you are, we'll open it up for you.
You can, hey, you want to buy it for a loved one? You can fill Santa's sack Christmas morning. Put it right in Santa's sack. Put it under the tree. There you go. Tip in merch. Yeah. If you're interested, let us know.
That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, for the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at the Tip in Maple Leafs podcast, on Twitter at Tip in Pod, or I'm sorry, on X at Tip in Pod, on TikTok, Tip in Podcast. Email us, tipinpodcast@gmail.com. You can email us there too to let us know if you want the store or clothing or anything like that. While you're on YouTube, hit like and subscribe. And until next time, I'm Chad.
Dale.
And we will.
Hey. Red Wings in town on Friday. A little back-to-back action. The Montreal Canadiens on Saturday night. Can't wait for that one. We'll be back probably Sunday evening for the next podcast. Break down everything that happened in the two games on the weekend. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you later.
You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dave.